Well, a wonderful Sabbath blessing to each and every one of you. And welcome to all of those that are gathered here for our Friday night church service. Welcome to those that are listening on the phone and to those that will be listening to the recorded service. And what a wonderful time to be alive. And God is truly blessing each and every one of us to allow us to come back together again with what health that we have and with the answers to all of our problems throughout this past week, and allowing us to gather together to worship Him in spirit and in truth on such a wonderful beginning of the Sabbath that it is. Our opening song for this evening is entitled, In Times Like These. And with the way that the world is heading and will continue to get worse, truly, we need to come that much closer to the Lord than what we are even now. We need to truly become bonded with Him in a yoke that can never be broken. And I pray that each and every one of us will achieve such a privileged union as this. The link for the lyrics is lightministries.com/ID1936.htm. In times like these.
Blessed Sabbath, everyone. I bless you all, and for those that are listening in also, and who will also, as your brother Rob said, be listening in later on. What a blessed Sabbath. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle, be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure, and be very sure, Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure, and be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
Amen. And thank you, brother and sister. That was beautiful. I ask you to please kneel before our great God as we open up this church service. And please bow your heads in reverence to Him who is your life and health. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you're in control of all things, that there's nothing that the devil can do through any device or method or enterprise or well-laid plans or schemes that catches you by surprise. And thank you so much for limiting his power in our lives, and please continue to do so. Father, we give you full and complete control of this meeting, and we pray that you will indeed take control, rule and overrule, and allow the truth as it is in Jesus to be spoken and to be understood in crystal clarity, that indeed the Savior can be uplifted and all humanity can be hid, so that only His light is seen and no darkness at all. We pray, Savior, that your presence will be in our midst, and we thank you for being here. Please shine your bright beams of righteousness upon each one of us. And, Savior, we give you full and complete control of our hearts. Rule on the throne of our soul. And please continue to lead and guide us upward. And, dear Holy Spirit, we ask that you be here as well. Please lead and guide us into all truth, and thank you for doing so. Quicken our ability to understand and comprehend. For as we continue each day forward to the ending of this great controversy, this world is going to draw closer and closer to Lucifer and is going to become more and more wicked. And we don't want to be caught up in this. We desire to flee from Lucifer and to cling to our Savior. And for this, Spirit, we need your help. Give us the grace and the strength that we need from above to keep us steadfast to the truth. And we thank you so very much for doing so. We thank you, Godhead, for being with us now. We pray that the heavenly angels will be sent to be around each individual, that there will be no interruptions, that there will be no things that will intervene between us hearing the truth and understanding the truth, that all distractions can be set aside, and that the darkness can be blown away, and only the light in Jesus Christ can shine. And thank you for doing so. Father, we thank you for hearing and answering this prayer, and for being with us now as we continue forward in this service. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So indeed, in times like these, we need the Savior. We're not strong at all to meet any of the devices of the enemy. Only in Jesus are we capable of avoiding falling into destruction. Well, we're continuing to read in our study book that is called Patriarchs and Prophets. And we're down to chapter 6. We finished chapter 5 last Friday, and now we're down to chapter 6, which begins at page 80. And the link for the Patriarchs and Prophets book is lightministries.com/ID818.htm. So chapter 6, which is entitled Seth and Enoch, and it's page 80, right at the top. To Adam was given another son to be the inheritor of the divine promise, the heir of the spiritual birthright. The name Seth given to this son signified appointed or compensation for, said the mother, God hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. So after Cain had slew Abel, and then Cain was banished away from the camp of Adam and Eve and was a wanderer throughout the land, God mercifully blessed Adam and Eve with another son, and they called his name Seth, which meant appointed or compensation for the one that was lost. Continuing. Seth was of a more noble stature than Cain or Abel, and resembled Adam more closely than did his other sons. He was a worthy character, following in the steps of Abel, yet he inherited no more natural goodness than did Cain. Concerning the creation of Adam, it is said, in the likeness of God made he him, but man, after the fall, begat a son in his own likeness after his image. While Adam was created sinless in the likeness of God, Seth, like Cain, inherited the fallen nature of his parents. But he received also the knowledge of the Redeemer and instruction in righteousness. By divine grace, he served and honored God, and he labored, as Abel would have done had he lived, to turn the minds of sinful men to revere and obey their Creator. So Adam was created in the likeness of God, which was sinless, but Abel and Cain and Seth and all the rest of mankind have been created in the likeness of their earthly father, and thus have inherited a fallen nature all the way from Adam and Eve, all the way down the line to today.
And didn't realize I didn't have my keys to open the door again. I'm standing there trying to see what to do to get the money to pay for the gas because my purse was locked up. Nobody there to know how to open the car. And I said a prayer, and all of a sudden, a lady came in on two stumps over from me. A man came in between her, and I asked him if he knew how to open the door because I had locked my keys in the car. He said no. So the lady said, what happened? And I said, I locked my keys and everything in the car, and I don't have a key to open the door to get the money to pay for the gas, plus the fact I don't remember the code to punch the door to unlock the car. So she said, my husband is a locksmith, and he's standing down there waiting for me. And she beckoned him to pull up closer to the pump. And she said, this lady has locked her keys in the car. She needs to get in there to get the money to pay for the gas. He said, okay. She said, you have your things with you? He says, yes, I do. So he came over and unlocked the door for me, which was said, oh. And the man next to me said, somebody's watching over you today. I said, God is so good. He's always on the throne the moment when we need him most. And I thank him because the man was able to unlock the car and let me get everybody to the pump that needed to be that was in line behind me, plus pay for my gas and get out of the way. And I said, the Lord is always available when you need him most, and you don't even realize it sometimes, how close he is. But in the hour of need, he shows up just in the nick of time. And I said, praise the Lord. God is good, and he has rescued one of his children again today.
And just praising the Lord as well that he's allowed mom to see 82 years today. So praise the Lord for allowing us to share that.
I guess we had left off and at the paragraph for some time. What a great blessing that was. And what a great rejoicing that the Lord was right there. Yes, it did. We were smiling over here too. Praise God. For some time, the two classes remained separate. The race of Cain, spreading from the place of their first settlement, dispersed over the plains and valleys where the children of Seth had dwelt. And the latter, in order to escape from their contaminating influence, withdrew to the mountains and there made their home. So long as this separation continued, they maintained the worship of God in its purity. But in the lapse of time, they ventured, little by little, to mingle with the inhabitants of the valleys. This association was productive of the worst results. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. The children of Seth, attracted by the beauty of the daughters of Cain's descendants, displeased the Lord by intermarrying with them. Many of the worshippers of God were beguiled into sin by the allurements that were now constantly before them, and they lost their peculiar holy character. Mingling with the depraved, they became like them in spirit and in deeds. The restrictions of the seventh commandment were disregarded, and they took them wives of all which they chose. The children of Seth went in the way of Cain, Jude 11. They fixed their minds upon worldly prosperity and enjoyment, and neglected the commandments of the Lord. Men did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Romans 1:21. Therefore, God gave them over to a mind void of judgment. Verse 28 in the margin. Sin spread abroad in the earth like a deadly leprosy. I don't know if someone wants to comment on that, but there are some strong words in here that definitely help us to understand there's a reason why the Lord wants us to be peculiar people and to not mix with the world and to not take and mix the holy with the unholy. There's a reason why we have to take a look even from our own homes and to see what is it that we are mingling, and in our walk, what are we mingling? We really need to make sure, because we see what happened back then when they looked down at the worldlings and basically coveted what they had. Amen. And wanted what they had. And as children of God, we have to see very clearly there is to be a distinction between the children of God and the children of men. And when I say that, even as it said, those that are in the world, there is to be a clear distinction, and it should not be something that causes us to be ashamed at all. And if our flesh is causing us to feel uncomfortable to be so peculiar, then some searching needs to be done, and we need to take some time in our little quiet spot with the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit, search that out, because why am I uncomfortable to be so peculiar for Jesus? Why do I need to fit in with this group here, or why do I want to fit in with that group there, or why does this make me feel so ashamed to dress appropriately? Why does it make me feel ashamed to not speak so slangishly? Why does it make me feel... We have to really allow the Lord to work in us, because we are seeing very clearly we are to be very unique and separate and peculiar people, meaning we're supposed to be the ones that everyone looks at in the world and says, those are either God's children or they're really strange. They're going to have one or the other result. But they should be able to say, those are Christians. Those there are, they serve Jesus. They serve the Lord. They serve that God from back then. They are supposed to be able to see that in the way we talk, the way we dress, how we eat, who do we associate with. And what I mean by associations, I don't mean by who we're witnessing to at the time. I mean, who do we keep our company with? Who's nurturing us in our friendship? So all of these different things is what should make the world see we are different, and we are called to be different in Jesus Christ. So we're not supposed to have all these different, like, we see what happened there. Oh, my lands. It brought the flood eventually, and I have a feeling it will get to that. I believe it will get to that. It brought so much sin, and even as it was repeated again, it spread like deadly leprosy. It brought so much sin into the world that the Lord had to truly destroy everything, except for eight, with the flood.
Amen. Continuing on the paragraph right after 82, it begins with, "For nearly 1,000 years, Adam lived among men, a witness to the result of sin. Faithfully, he sought to stem the tides of evil. He had been commanded to instruct his posterity in the way of the Lord, and he carefully treasured what God had revealed to him, and repeated it to succeeding generations, to his children and children's children, to the ninth generation. He described man's holy and happy estate in paradise, and repeated the history of his fall, telling them of the suffering by which God had taught him the necessity of strict adherence to his law, and explaining to them the merciful provisions for their salvation. Yet there were but few who gave heed to his words. Often he was met with bitter reproaches for the sins that had brought such woe upon his posterity." Adam's life was one of sorrow, humility, and constriction. When he left Eden, the thought that he must die thrilled him with horror. He was first made acquainted with the reality of death in the human family when Cain, his firstborn son, became the murderer of his brother. Filled with the keenest remorse of his own sin, he doubtfully bereaved in the death of Abel and the rejection of Cain, Adam was bowed down with anguish. He witnessed the widespreading corruption that was finally to cause the destruction of the world by a flood. And though the sentence of death pronounced upon him by his Maker had at first appeared terrible, yet after beholding for nearly 1,000 years the result of sin, he felt that it was merciful in God to bring to an end a life of suffering and sorrow.
Continuing on, right before page 83, notwithstanding the wickedness of the antediluvian world, that age was not, as has often been supposed, an era of ignorance and barbarism. The people were granted the opportunity of reaching a high standard of moral and intellectual attainment. They possessed great physical and mental strength, and their advantages for acquiring both religious and scientific knowledge were unrivaled. It was a mistake to suppose, that because they lived to a great age, their minds matured late, their mental powers were early developed, and those who cherished the fear of God and lived in harmony with his will continued to the same age who lived before the flood. They would appear as greatly inferior in mental as in physical strength. As the years of man have decreased and his physical strength has diminished, so his mental capacities have lessened. There are men who now aptly apply themselves to study during a period of from 20 to 50 years, and the world is filled with admiration of their attainments. But how limited are these acquirements in comparison with those of men whose mental and physical powers were developing for centuries? Wow. It is true that the people of modern times have the benefit of the attainments of their predecessors. The men of masterly minds who planned and studied and wrote have left their work for those who follow. But even in this respect, and so far as merely human knowledge is concerned, how much greater the advantages of the men of that olden time. They had among them for hundreds of years him who was formed in God's image, whom the Creator himself pronounced good, the man whom God had instructed in all the wisdom pertaining to the material world. Adam had learned from the Creator the history of creation. He himself witnessed the events of 9 centuries, and he imparted his knowledge to his descendants. The antediluvians were without books. They had no written records, but with their great physical and mental vigor, they had strong memories, able to grasp and to retain that which was communicated to them, and in turn to transmit it unimpaired to their posterity. And for hundreds of years, there were 7 generations living upon the earth contemporaneously, having the opportunity of consulting together and profiting each by the knowledge and experience of all. Please, Sister Karina, go right ahead, my dear.
The advantages enjoyed by men of that age to gain a knowledge of God through his works have never been equaled since. Have never been equal since. And so far from being an era of religious darkness, that was an age of great light. All the world had opportunity to receive instruction from Adam, and those who feared the Lord had also Christ and angels for their teachers. And they had a silent witness to the truth in the garden of God, which for so many centuries remained among them. At the cherubim guarded gate of paradise, the glory of God was revealed, and hither came the first worshippers. Here their altars were reared, and their offerings presented. It was here that Cain and Abel had brought their sacrifices, and God had condescended to communicate with them. Skepticism could not deny their existence of Eden while it stood just in sight, its interests barred and watching angels. The order of creation, the object of the garden, the history of its 2 trees, so closely connected with man's destiny, were undisputed facts, and the existence and supreme authority of God, the ablution of God's of his law, were truths which men were slow to question while Adam was among them. Notwithstanding the prevailing iniquity, there was a line of holy men who elevated and ennobled by communion with God, lived as in the companionship of heaven. There were many of massive intellect, of wonderful attainments. They had a great and holy mission to develop a character of righteousness, to teach a lesson of godliness, not only to the men of their time, but for future generations. Only a few of the most prominent are mentioned in the scriptures, but all through the ages, God had faithful witnesses, true-hearted worshipers.
Of Enoch it is written that he lived 65 years and begat a son. After that he walked with God 300 years. During these earlier years, Enoch had loved and feared God and had kept his commandments. He was one with the holy line, the preservers of the true faith, the progenitors of the promised seed. From the lips of Adam he had learned the dark story of the fall, and the cheering one of God's grace as seen in the promise. And he relied upon the Redeemer to come. But after the birth of his first son, Enoch reached a higher experience. He was drawn into a closer relationship with God. He realized more fully his own obligations and responsibility as a son of God. And as he saw the child's love for its father, its simple trust in his protection, as he felt the deep, yearning tenderness of his own heart for that firstborn son, He learned a precious lesson of the wonderful love of God to men in the gift of his Son, and the confidence which the children of God may repose in their Heavenly Father. The infinite, unfathomable love of God through Christ became the subject of his meditations day and night, and with all the fervor of his soul he sought to reveal that love to the people among whom he dwelt.
Continuing at the beginning of 85, page 85, Enoch's walk with God was not in a trance or vision, but in all the duties of his daily life. He did not become a hermit, shutting himself entirely from the world, for he had a work to do for God in the world, in the family and in his intercourse with men, as a husband and father, a friend, a citizen. He was the steadfast, unwavering servant of the Lord. His heart was in harmony with God's will, for can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3, verse 3. And this holy walk was continued for 300 years. There are a few Christians who would not be far more earnest and devoted if they knew that they had but a short time to live, or that the coming of Christ was about to take place. But Enoch's faith waxed the stronger, his love became more ardent with the lapse of centuries. Continuing. Enoch was a man of strong and highly cultivated mind and extensive knowledge. He was honored with special revelations from God, yet being in constant communion with heaven, with a sense of the divine greatness and perfection ever before him, he was one of the humblest of men. The closer the connection with God, the deeper was the sense of his own weakness and imperfection. Distressed by the increasing wickedness of the ungodly and fearing that their infidelity might lessen his reverence for God, Enoch avoided constant association with them, and spent much time in solitude, giving himself to meditation and prayer. Thus he waited before the Lord, seeking a clearer knowledge of his will, that he might perform it. To him, prayer was as the breath of the soul. He lived in the very atmosphere of heaven. Praise God. I just wanted to take a moment to share real quick the beauty of this right now unfortunate situation where our dear brother's not here. But I have to say that my heart is very much rejoiced in us being able to share in reading in this type of fellowship like this. And we're all able to participate. So, and I believe it also encourages others who, you know, if you're feeling led to read, please read out. This is all part of growing in the Lord also and pulling us tighter together in Christ. So as I was listening to all the different voices, I have to really say that it really rejoices my heart, and it causes me to desire to have that more and more and more, that we should, you know, be able to share and be able to just step forward and allow the Lord to move us, because sometimes I think that we can find ourselves hindered by our own uncomfortableness or fears, or we might feel like that we don't sound right or we don't read right or whatever the case may be. From my heart, I just want to let you brothers and sisters know that, you know, it's a rejoicing. It doesn't matter what you may think, how you sound or how you read, but you can just share here and read a sentence or share a word of what, you know, how it's touched you and how the Lord has, you know, brought that piece that we've read more real to your life, that we can learn from it. Please do, really, because we're all walking this very narrow path by God's amazing grace, and we're all holding on to the Lord Jesus, and we're all pressing in. And so we all need to bind each other up by God's grace. And so if you have a little, you know, word to share, or you feel led to go ahead and read something, please, by all means, don't feel Don't feel uncomfortable at all, because it is a great rejoicing for us brethren to be able to lift each other up and share and really give God the glory, because it's really about giving Him the glory. We're going to grow in grace by God's amazing grace through Jesus Christ, and His name shall truly be glorified if we are obedient.
Continuing on, Enoch had been troubled in regard to the death. It had seemed to him that the righteous and the wicked would go to the death together, and this would be their end. He could not see the life of the just beyond the grave. In prophetic vision, he was instructed concerning the death of Christ and was shown his coming in glory, attended by all but holy angels, to ransom his people from the grave. He also saw the corrupt state of the world. When Christ should appear the second time, that there would be a boastful, presumptuous, self-willed generation, denying the only God and the Lord Jesus Christ, trampling upon the law and despising the atonement. He saw the righteous crowned with glory and honor, and the wicked banished from the presence of the Lord and destroyed by fire. Enoch became a preacher of righteousness, making known to the people what God had revealed to him. Those who feared the Lord sought out this holy man to share his instruction in his prayers. He labored publicly, also bearing God's message to all who would hear the words or warning. His labors were not restricted to Thetis in the land where Cain had sought to flee from the divine presence. The prophet of God made known the wonderful things that had passed before his vision. Behold, he declared, the Lord cometh with ten thousands of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds. Jude 14:15.
Through holy angels, God revealed to Enoch his purpose to destroy the world by a flood, and he also opened more fully to him the plan of redemption. By the spirit of prophecy, he carried him down through the generations that should live after the flood, and showed him the great events connected with the second coming of Christ and the end of the world.
Is there anything that anyone would like to share or to express about what has already been read, or if there are any testimonies that anyone has that the Lord has filled their life with and blessed them with this week, or songs that they'd like to share? Please feel free to do so.
I have one or two, maybe. I live in the countryside of South Korea, and it's like really country out here. And for my whole life, I had a fear of bugs, and seeing that the bugs are ridiculously big here, like ridiculously big. Like I remember last year when I was in my room, and I should have been asleep, but it was like 2 a.m. I have no idea what I was doing, and there was a centipede on the wall, and it was so big that, like, I already know the size of my own hand, and it was clearly bigger than that, and so I freaked out, and I was not doing too well after that. I slept with I don't know if I was fully clothed, but I don't know. I had bug spray and a fly swatter right next to me. And the Lord already knows how scared I am of bugs, let alone like in America, but here it's just creepy. So sometimes my husband and his mother, they have to go to the hospital, and that could take a few days, so I'm here by myself. And every night, we have to go outside. Only at 9 o'clock, we have to go outside when it's dark and all the bugs are out. You hear them. They're very loud. And I have to go out and turn on the boiler for the heat to be in the house. And even though it's like maybe 10 or 15 steps, they're like the worst 10 or 15 steps ever. So over the course of time, I began like tolerance for them, for the little bugs, not so little bugs, I guess. And like, I don't really know if you guys like understand, but like when someone is afraid of something, it like it changes the way they are. And I know this seems like a little issue, but it's not to me. And I just started to like not be so scared, and I thank God, because I hated sleeping. Even though the temperature here is really, really hot, I would literally sleep with the covers over my whole entire body. And I just thank God that over the course of time, I am not afraid of them anymore, because I know that the Bible does say, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. And so I praise God for that. So the other day, my husband goes out and he tries to turn on the boiler, and it broke. And I was surprised, because it seemed like it was a pretty good boiler. And so the man had came out to fix it, and it still wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. And then somebody had to come out again yesterday, and he put in a whole entire, yeah, power, love, and a sound mind, yeah. And he had to put in a whole entire new boiler. And when he did that, he said to my husband, "You don't have to come out here at night anymore, just because it does it on its own every 10 hours. So we don't have to go out there anymore." And I thank God, because even though, I mean, when I will go out there to turn it on, I will put on socks going up almost to my knees. I'll put on my shoes, really long pants, a hoodie. I put the hood over my head and tie it up so that I can barely see. And that's like living in fear, you know? I know that. So, like, I just thank God, because I started to become not so afraid of them. So the Lord kind of stepped in, and he was like, and he made it to where I didn't have to go out there anymore. So I know that seems little, that seems really little, but yeah, I just thank God for that. Yeah.
Amen, dear sister. You know, I can truly understand what you mean about that, because I mean, I jump at this of any bug. I can't stand them either. And I will probably be exactly like you and jump 30 feet in the air if even something were to even brush by my arm or something like that. So I totally understand, and praise the Lord that, you know, even in little things that would be, of course, maybe little to God, but they're not little to him, because they trouble our peace. And I know there's a scripture that says that even if something disturbs our peace, you know, God is there and he will take care. So praise the Lord for that.
Well, I would like to share a little something that I experienced this week, too. I praise God for the experience. It's not as rejoicing, but I tell you, I was still rejoicing just the same because of the environment. I'll explain why, and then you'll see what I mean. I had not seen a friend of mine as a neighbor, my neighbor friend. We were like family. I had not seen his dad in some years now, because unfortunately he suffers with Alzheimer's and has gotten into a really unfortunate state. And I had not seen him in a while. His name is Reginald. His son's name is Kevin. His mom is Lil. just in case, you know, you're tossing some prayers up there. So to keep them in prayer. I kept that in prayer that the Lord will be able to allow me to go and visit. And it's not easy for me to get there, to go and see him. So I would have to, you know, find a way to get there. And the best way would be is if Kevin or his mom, his name is Lil, would be able to take me when they go. And their schedule is exceedingly hectic, as is mine, to even get around there. And I kept that in prayer for some time, quite some time. So during this past week, as I spent some time with my mom, which was really a blessing too, and she was in much rejoicing because I was able to also share with her through, you know, a little witnessing here and there, and also through praise worship, that I would do my very best by God's grace to bless her with and bless the house with every morning. So to jump further on, I had an opportunity to finally go, and that was yesterday, to see him. And it was quite the experience, I have to say that. Because in one way, he looked very much like he had always looked. Before I got a chance to really spend some good quality time, you know, with him, Lil and I had to wait for Kevin to go and take him, and he would take time with him to clean him up and things like that before dinner. So he really didn't recognize me at all. But inside this waiting room, and this is where the sad part comes, but there is still a little rejoicing in it too. There are many people who are very much on in their years and suffering from various forms of either Alzheimer's or dementia, or basically they've older age where they cannot take care of themselves and their family members have brought them there to this nursing home. And it really touched my heart in a very deep way on a couple of different levels, in that I got to see just how much time that Lil and Kevin spent to make sure that, you know, her husband is Reggie and his father, that's Reggie, is Kevin's the son. To take care of their loved one, they would come up there every week to make sure that he's taken care of. And Kevin showed himself to be very dedicated and very loving in that whole area. And I praise God for that. But at the same time, my heart was a bit saddened because there were so many wheelchairs with poor souls in them that nobody comes to see. And they're just sitting in the hallways. They're very short-staffed, and all you could really do is pray. And I try to, you know, say a hello here or there as I got more comfortable. Because I tell you, truthfully, my senses were a bit shocked to see the condition of so many of them, and I really had to be in prayer. I said, Lord, how do I even approach this situation, and to know or have a very strong sense that so many in there have never really received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and now at that age and in the condition that only God knows. So it really shook me much. And there are some that, you know, had someone visiting them and things like that. But it really had a strong impression upon me of this whole generation of people whom the Lord in his mercy and grace still has them alive. And as he gave me more, how could I say, comforted me, and which is really, and this is the love of the living God. I can't fathom it, and I'm not in any kind of way worthy to receive any of it. And for him to want to encourage and comfort me so that I might have a word to say hi to any of them, I felt ashamed and thankful at the same time. And I don't know if you can understand what I mean by that. Because I really believe that I from all that he has given me in love and nurturing
and peace and grace, I should have been one that should have been just this bubbling, overflowing, effervescent being in that place of such drab depression. And I was really just taken asunder by that. It was so heavy. But by, yes, it was very overwhelming. By God's grace, I was able to at least start to, you know, go over to the table where some of the gentlemen were sitting, and they had to be in their 80s and late 80s and late 70s and various stages of incapacitation. And some were, you know, able to at least have a little bit of a conversation, until later on I found out that I was having the conversation and they were having another conversation, though they were talking to me. But I still praised God just the same, because at least, you know, they had someone to talk to. I stopped by this one woman and sat down by her, and I asked her, "How are you today?" And she spoke very softly, but her eyes were like all lit up, because I just came over and I made an effort by God's grace to just try to talk to each one in the room, say something, because if I could only give you a picture of what this was like. They're really just sitting there, and nobody really comes to see them. And they're just sitting there, pushed in front of these tables, and that's where they are. So I praise the Lord when I was able to talk to this one woman, and she spoke very softly, and I was asking her how her day was, and she spoke, and I said, "Oh, I can hardly hear you." And then she says, "It's very nice to meet you." And my heart just swole up. In just that's when I sat down next to her and just tried to at least have a few more moments of conversation with her. And then she goes back inside of her little, I guess, little cave or something that she's in inside of her mind. But at least, I just don't even know how to even say it. And they don't have enough workers, and there really aren't the hospice workers that are really there. One woman I saw there, I was told by Lil, you know, works hospice, but not really there very often, I don't think. And so, I guess at the same time, I said it was a rejoicing time to have that, the Lord have that event to happen, because I did get to see Reggie. And it was rejoicing to see in his eyes that he did, at least I believe, he did remember me. And I tried to share with him, you know, how much, you know, I was so glad to be there to finally see him. And how good he actually really does look for his age. He's 82, but he just doesn't look like he's aged much since I saw him some years ago. And I praise God for that, but his condition has definitely deteriorated as far as his mobility is concerned. But he has a loving family that really makes sure they're there, and they make sure that the staff there do their best to take care of him. But they're there every week. And it's just unfortunate there are so many that are not getting that kind of love. And especially the Word of God. What a perfect environment, I believe, if there was a way to just be able to give a reading, even of the Word of God and the Spirit of Prophecy, so that they could just hear it and let the Holy Spirit do the work. Because then only God knows who then would be saved. But at least they would have the opportunity in their heart to hear the gospel even at that stage of their life and even at that condition. So thank you all so much for bearing with me this long. And thank you for the other wonderful testimony, dear Sister Queen. I'm sorry I didn't say it at the early part, but I rejoiced in that. So thank you so much.
No. Praise the Lord, dear brother. And definitely understand what you are saying and how you felt when you were there. Some years ago, I had a neighbor who sadly was in a nursing home, and I know exactly the overwhelming, how can I put it, the feel that you get when you get there and when you see all the souls that are there and the true need that they have. And it's sad, you know, because your heart reaches out to them. At that time, I still had my little dog. And so I actually took her there. And I not only, by God's grace, it touched the neighbor's heart, but some of the other ones that were there, to just see their faces light and to smile. And I would take the little dog over and they would hold her, and she was loving it. Their faces lit up. I had prayer with them. And so I do totally understand, you know, what you mean. So good to see you, Sister Joan. God bless. Take care. And so, no, I totally understand what you mean. And yeah, there is a way that, you know, it's like another avenue of souls that, you know, to reach out to, because sometimes it's just a matter of, oh, hi, how are you? That they see a smile, you know, a tender touch. Someone who's just kind enough to even notice them. And even though, you know, you might not realize it, but like you say, you saw in her eyes how her eyes lit up. And it means the world to them. And so I do understand what you mean. And I've been there, and you're so right. It's an avenue to definitely continue to keep them in prayer. And as able to be able to volunteer, or even just to go as able to just lift their hearts a little bit, you know?
Are there any more testimonies that anyone would like to give, or maybe a song that someone would like to share at this time? Please feel free.
God sent His Son, they call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds to the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Well, my voice isn't what it used to be, but there it is. Thank you.
At the contrary, dear brother, that was beautiful. Brother Joel, you know what I've noticed also, because before our dear sister passed away, we used to go to the nursing home and visit her mom. And I noticed that when you do, even if you break in a song or you even start reading scripture, do you know how much people start drawing, and they come and sit and they start drawing the chair, and you just started with one person and all of a sudden you see all of them will start coming together and they will actually sing. Cause, and then not only that, when it's finished, they even tell you to come back the next week. It happened when we did it in New York, and even when my sister and I, she went to visit someone in a nursing home here in this state, and the same thing happened. We went and visit her. She came down. We started singing songs, and then all of a sudden, everybody started to even draw closer, and that is very like a, one of the tools that can be used to be able to share the gospel. Because, you know, a lot of the older and the senior citizens, they love singing. And especially when you sing in hymns or when you sing in any kind of praise to the Lord, it really draws their heart. I just wanted to share that. And also, is it possible that we can go into a season of prayer right now and pray that the Lord would allow the computer and the equipment will be able to come through for tomorrow's service and the storm may be able to pass over our dear brother? So either Brother Joel or any one of the dear brothers that would like to lead out in prayer, I'll get out of the mic.
Yes, dear sister, that's a good thing to do. So let us kneel as best we can and go before the Lord in prayer. Dear and gracious Heavenly Father, dear Lord God Jesus, and precious Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for this very wonderful fellowship that we have had during the beginning portion of the Sabbath, and we have been very much rejoicing in it. We thank you also for the circumstances that have unfolded to allow it to even become this way, because much growth is being done in each and every one of us. So we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you so much. We do lift up our dear brother Rob and Sister Michelle and Brother Sean and the situation there. Lord, we pray that you'll please, out of mercy and grace, please repair the situation and let the satellite link be able to be restored. We pray that there's no great damage that's done and that you truly have protected it completely, and that just in a matter of a little while, everything will be restored back to the proper order it needs to be in, that your ministry can be continued and many others will be able to continue to hear your word and to join in this really blessed fellowship before you. We pray that you'll please continue to protect the rest of the area from any other further lightning strikes or anything like that, Lord, so that no fires break out and no damage is done even to the surrounding areas or homes. We pray, Lord God, for the elderly that are in all the nursing homes, even throughout the world and not just this nation. We pray, Lord, that you'll even raise up some ministry workers, and it's really laid on my heart to try and see what I can do. So I pray that you'll please, Lord, move in all of our hearts and as best as we can, and as you give us strength to find a way to reach these older ones who are very hungry to hear your word and to hear songs of praise of your love and majesty and mercy and grace and abundant salvation, because they are very hungry, as our dear sister Rose had said. We thank you again, Lord, for blessing us with this fellowship, and we pray that you'll continue to watch over us even as we should go our separate ways and begin to continue in the Sabbath blessings in our own homes, wherever we are. Thank you again for your love and your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And I would like to also add, thank you, dear Savior, for sparing. Sometimes we don't really quite understand why certain things happen, but we know that by sparing the equipment to be able to go out now, that it didn't go any further of actually making any damage. So sometimes I know that you step in, and it's more of a blessing than anything. So we thank you, dear Lord, for sparing the equipment that maybe tomorrow, by God's grace, we'll be able to go back into all in order. If anybody else would like to be able to share a song or a testimony before we do any of our closing for tonight, may you please come up to the mic?
I have one quick one. Like I said before, I've been here for over a year, and I live in a traditional Korean house. I don't live in the modern houses. So they don't really have, like, couches and beds. So for the year that I've been here, I've been sleeping on the floor, and it's not like I have an air mattress or anything. It's like the floor only with a blanket under. It's not really a blanket, it's a little cushiony, but not that cushiony. So the Lord blessed me and my husband with a bed. And I just thank God that he did bless me with this bed.
Well, I want to thank everyone, brothers and sisters, for coming in tonight, and those that are listening in, God bless you, and we thank you for joining us, and what a great rejoicing, and that's okay, dear brother, but it will be a rejoicing in our heart to hear you, hear your voice, and hear you singing one day also. So, oh, dear sister, you have something.
Actually, it was something that I wanted to say. I just wanted to share a song before we leave, and it's just Don't Forget the Sabbath. Don't forget the Sabbath, the Lord our God has blessed. Of all the wheat, the brightest, of all the wheat, the best. He brings repose from labor, he tells of joy divine. His beams of light descending with heavenly beauty shine. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, bless this Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Keep the Sabbath holy and worship him today. Who said to his disciples, I am the living way. And if we meekly follow our Savior here below, he give us all the fountain whose stream eternal flows. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Day of sacred pleasure, his golden hour will spend in thanks for him to Jesus, the children's dearest friend. Oh, gentle, loving Savior, how good and kind thou art. How precious is thy promise to dwell in every heart. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
I also have a message from Brother Jim. He said, blessed Sabbath to everyone. He was trying to have a way to greet everyone when he comes in, but he has problem with his computer. So he wants to apologize to anyone that had tried to be able to reach out to him. He just couldn't respond because there's something wrong with the computer. So we're hoping by God's grace that he will be able to come back and be able to be with us. So he just wanted to say hello to everyone and Sabbath blessings.
Amen, and we do pray that Brother Jim will be able to communicate with all of us as we are desiring to do so with him too. And thank you, dear sister, for that song, because it really is a very blessed Sabbath day. Amen. Amen. Well, again, I want to thank you all, and we're going to keep Brother Rob and his whole family in prayer, and let the Lord will touch all the equipment and keep them safe, and so we can all fellowship tomorrow morning as we come back in just a few more hours for fellowship and great rejoicing in Jesus. So God bless you all, and may you have a very peaceful and restful Sabbath rest if you're resting. And wherever you are, you may already be well into your Sabbath day, so enjoy the rest of it. God bless you all.
Brothers and sisters, a storm just came in, and the wind's blowing kind of strong. So I just pray that no power lines get knocked down or anything like that. Thank you.
And I'm going to come back in for a moment because I was very graciously reminded, and I pray you all forgive me for those of you that are still listening in. We do pray that you have a very blessed rest tonight, and do look forward to having you here with us tomorrow, the morning portion of the Sabbath, and in fellowship with us also. We look forward to that, and please let others know to come in also. And God bless you.